Great. So it's Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Happy Mother's Day. And you know, Mother's Day is a great day. It's a lovely day where we celebrate motherhood, where we celebrate children. But it's not always a great day. Sometimes it's a painful day. It's a painful day for people who haven't had a great mother in their life. It's a painful day for people, you know, maybe who want kids and aren't able to have them. And, you know, there's so much that we can look at and we can say, you know, Mother's Day is great, but inside there's something that doesn't always feel great. But you know what? It's different when you come into the house of God. And there's a verse which I'm going to start with in Psalm 68, verse 6. And this is, I want to top my message with this one. It says this. Hopefully they'll all come up behind me at some point. Psalm 68, verse 6 says, God sets the lonely in families. God sets the lonely in families. And you know, I don't know what kind of background you have, whether it was happy or whether it isn't happy. But you know what? If you come into the house of God and you belong to the family of God, you're part of a new family. You have new brothers and sisters. You have people around you that will help you. You have people that will encourage you. You have people that will cheer you on. You know, there's so much in the Bible that talks about family. There's so much that talks about family. It talks about in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about, you know, you can don't take the speck of dust out of your brother's eye till you've put the log out of your own eye. But it doesn't say don't go to your brother and help him with what's in his eye. You know, in Romans, it says be devoted to each other in brotherly love. In Genesis, there's a story right at the beginning of the Bible. There's a story of two brothers, Cain and Abel. And they have this massive row and Cain kills Abel. And God goes to Cain and says, you know, where's your brother? Where's your brother? His blood is crying out from the ground. And God is saying to him, you know what? You are responsible for your brother. We are responsible for each other. We're part of a family. And in 1 John 3:16, it says, we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And I just love this whole picture of family. I love that we are part of a family. And the Bible just describes this relationship so richly. You know, each one of us has a part, each one of us has a place, each one of us has a purpose in this family. And I just want to say today, I want God to redeem Mother's Day in your life. You know, if you're one of those people that hasn't had a great past, I just want from this day forward to be a marker in the sand and for you to say, do you know what? I'm part of a family. I have a mother. I have brothers and sisters. I have people around me who are my family. And I'm going to actually choose from this day forward to say, that is my family. And I'm going to plant myself and I'm going to position myself knowing that I do have that family. And so I just want to start off because at Valley Church, we believe that we are called to create a home to empower a new generation. We're called to create a home for people that maybe don't have a great home, but we're called to create a home for people that do have a great home as well. You know, we're called to be a family together. We're called to extend our family. You know what? If you're a Christian, you can't be selfish and just have your own little family unit. There's no such thing as that in God's family. We're a family together. Like, we all need each other. We all belong to each other. And I'm super excited about that. Is this good? Yeah. So I've asked a few members of our family for some wisdom today, because I figured on Mother's Day, you know, like, what would be the questions that you would want to ask your mum? What would be the amazing advice that she would want to pass on to you? What would be the kind of stuff that you would want to pass on yourself? So my message is entitled, A Letter to My Younger Self. A Letter to My Younger Self. And I was hoping that we'd have a video to show you, but we weren't quick enough yesterday, because we had this whole thing of amazing women on the platform who actually told stories of their life and passed on a piece of wisdom for you. But if you want to find out what that is, you can buy the CD from the messages yesterday for £5 for the whole day. Or I guess we could put it on a USB, but I guess it would be a little bit more. £7.50, £10? I don't know how much they are. Anyway, talk to the people on InfoPoint, they'll sort it out. But it's not totally PG, so if you've got your kids in the car, you might want to at some point just kind of cover their ears. I'm not going to comment on what was said from there. I'll talk to my sister-in-law later. The blonde girl that was on the platform. Yeah. So anyway, right, so we had some funny things that people would pass on from their experience. The first one that I would like to say, one of our youth leaders said, you know, his piece of wisdom would be put down the cake. So you know what? If that's you, put down the cake. A lady I asked actually said to me, what would I do? I would tell my younger self to have more children. She had 5 already. Her husband wanted none. They compromised. She wanted 6. He wanted none. They compromised at 5. But her advice to her younger self would be have more children. Another friend of mine said, I would tell myself that my thighs are not too big. So if you're going around telling yourself your thighs are too big, they're not too big. And another young lady said, I would tell myself that your nose isn't wonky, your ears aren't too big, and that you are loved way more than you realize. That's beautiful. So if you're looking in the mirror, then that's what you need to tell yourself. A good piece of advice for you guys or anyone that's thinking of going off to uni, I think a very stellar piece of advice for you young men particularly, I would tell my younger unmarried self to plan and prepare for your future and you'll enjoy it a whole lot more. Basically, don't spend your money, don't mess up your life, plan for your future, get some wisdom in now, don't leave it till too late. But there you go, they were some kind of teasers to get you going. But this is where we're going tonight. Is this good? Okay, so I have got 5 gems for you, 5 nuggets, 5 pieces of wisdom that I would love to pass on to you. And the first one is this. Know that you are a precious and beautiful person and deserve love. Know that you are a precious and beautiful person and you deserve love. You see, right at the beginning, when God created the world, every day, God, it says in the Bible in Genesis, however you believe creation happened, whether it was 7, 24 hours or 7 periods of time, or however you believe, that the story of creation was put in the Bible to show us God created the world, yeah? So however God chose to create the world, I don't have a problem with that. I find it pretty easy to kind of go, well, you know, he's God. But God created the world. He created light and darkness. And then it says, and then he said it was good. Then he created something else, and every day he created more, and he got to the end of the day, and he said it was good. And then it says on day 6, it says God created mankind. He created male and female. And then at the end of that day, he didn't just say it was good. He said it's very good. He said he looked at you, and he went, it's very good. He looked at you, Amanda. He said it's very good. He looked at you, Dave, Kat, Sarah. He looked at you and he looked at you, Danielle, and he went, it's very good. Because God can see more than what we can see. God is out of time. You know, I believe God is outside of time. He can see the whole of time. And God looks at you today, just like he did then, and says, it's very good. You are very good. And I just want you to hear that today. However you feel, whether you're a guy, whether you're a girl, whether you struggle with your identity, whether you've got challenges in your life, I want you to know today that God says you are very good. And that's really important. It's really important that you hear that because God created mankind in his own image. And if you've been created in the image of God, then you are very good. You know, he looks at you and he sees a reflection of himself. And you know what? God is perfect. God is lovely. God is incredible. God is all powerful. And God looks at you and he says, you're a reflection of who I am. Just hear that tonight. If that needs to just be the one thing you hear tonight, you know what? Go home with that because it will change how you live. And then the Bible carries on into Ecclesiastes. It says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. And then some of my favorite verses, Psalm 139. If you're wondering if you were ever planned, it says this, you know, your parents might not have planned you. You might not have been quite ready at the right time for them, but you were ready at the right time for God. Because the Bible says you created my inmost being. You, that's God, knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And he's going back to the beginning of time. He's going back to Genesis where God created because God looked at you and said, it is very good. And he's going, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. And he's going back to Genesis and going, wow, God, you know, you made it. You are wonderful. So, you know, when you know this about yourself, when that penny drops and you realize who God has made you, it changes something on the inside. And what it does is it gives you the ability to love yourself more. Because you can't not like yourself if you realize that God loves you. You can't not like yourself if you realize that God looked at you and said, you're very good. You know, you can't turn around and say you're ugly. You can't turn around and say you're worthless. You can't turn around and say that you're no good. You can't turn around and say that no one loves me, because God loves you. God made you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And God says that you are a precious and beautiful person, and you deserve to be loved. When you know that, when you know how much God loves you, you'll know that it's good to be unique. You'll know that you don't have to copy anyone else. You don't have to be like anyone else. You know, you can be yourself. You can live in your lane, doing your thing in your season of life, because you know that's where God has put you. And so it releases you from all this stuff and trying to fit in. It releases you from trying to just do what you think other people want you to do, because actually you can be the person that God has made you to be. Another thing that it changes how you allow other people to relate to you. Because if you know how incredible you are, you know that you deserve to be loved. You know that you deserve a proper relationship with a girl or a guy who will honor you, with a girl or a guy who will respect you, with a girl or a guy who will actually let you make some choices. They won't just steamroll you into a relationship. They won't just take from you. But actually, you deserve someone that will give to you. You deserve somebody that will build into you. You deserve someone who you can have a great future with. And you know what, girls and guys, if you're not married, it's worth holding out for that person. You know, don't settle. Whatever you do, don't settle for second best. Because you know what? It's hard fixing it beforehand, but it's way harder dealing with the consequences after. Make sure you get God's best for your life. Don't settle for a relationship that isn't. Don't compromise. Don't compromise your values. Don't compromise your morals. Don't compromise your beliefs. And guys, don't compromise your future. Because if you do that, you're compromising your life and your kids' life and the next generation and the next generation. God says you are a beautiful, precious person, and you deserve true love. That's my first piece of wisdom. Is that good? Okay, ready for number two? Number two, okay. Wisdom number two from my amazing panel is this: keep walking forwards, don't camp in the darkness. And I want to take this from Psalm 23, and it's a psalm that I'm sure you all know and love and have heard so many times, even if you're not a Christian. It says this: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters and refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Keep walking. You know what, in life, stuff happens, yeah? Life happens. Even if you're in like a family of Christians, you're surrounded by amazing things, you know what, stuff just happens in life. It's easy to get offended, it's easy to get let down, it's easy to get hurt. You know, people, even the best people with a whole will in the world, you know what, people hurt each other. But don't camp in darkness, whatever you do. This really struck me. I've never seen this in Psalm 23 before, but if you read it, it talks about your walk. God does, you know, he leads me this way, and I lie down in green pastures. So you're lying down in green pastures, real cool, nice, cool. Sounds good, doesn't it? You can imagine it on a day like today with the sun shining, how lovely that is. But then it says that you walk through the darkest valley. So you don't lie down in the valley. Do you hear that? You don't lie down in the valley. So when stuff happens, you keep walking. Sometimes you can just stand there and almost like tiptoe, and you just keep on doing a little bit, but you don't actually camp there. You know, when stuff happens, there's a season. You go through a season of pain. You go through a season of heartache. You go through a time where, you know, where you grieve stuff, where you move through stuff. That totally happens. I'm not saying, please don't hear that. I'm saying that doesn't happen, because it does. But, you know, God doesn't want you to stay there. If you've been there for a long time, it's not a season anymore. You know, you can have a season of grief. You can have a season of loss. You can have a season of relationship difficulty. But if your season is turning into your life, it's not a season anymore. And instead of walking through, what you've done is you've started camping out. And if that's you today, I just want you to say it's time to get up the tent pegs and it's time to start walking back into the light, because Psalm 23 doesn't say you can stay there. Psalm 23 says if you take the hand of God, then that he will guide you on the right path. It says that he will lead you beside the quiet waters, beside the still waters. But you have to put your trust in him. That means you have to take your eyes off what is going on and you have to put your eyes onto God, who is leading you and who will lead you through this season. You might have to let go of some stuff. You might have to let go of some stuff in your past that you've been struggling to let go of. You might have to let go of maybe some hopes and dreams that you kind of thought were going to be a plan for your life, and maybe God's taking you in a different way or some different stuff is happening. You know what? That's okay. You know, God is faithful and he will lead you in that way. You might need to let go of a relationship. You know, there might be someone that you're tied your life to that you might have to just let go of and say, God, I'm going to trust you in this. And God, if you come through, great. And if it's to be, great. And if it's not to be, then God, I trust you, because actually I know you're holding my hand. You might have to let go of some offense, of some hurt. There might be some stuff that you're holding on to that you feel like you can't get past. But you know what? As you give it to God, God will take it. And again, as you hold his hand, you might need to, he might almost need to prize every finger apart. You know, like you do a baby when it's got something that it shouldn't have, and you take who was it talking about that this morning? Someone was talking about this morning, Mel, every single finger you have to take off this thing. And sometimes it feels like that. But do you know what? When you let go, you experience the freedom of God, and you can put your hand then in his hand, and he will take you and he will help you walk through that difficulty. You know, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, it says these words. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town that is built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." It says, let your light shine before men. It doesn't say let your problems shine before men. Do you think sometimes we find it easier to let our problems shine before men rather than our light shining before men? So much easier to tell people the stuff that is like in your life, yeah? Who finds that easy? Oh, none of you are admitting it. You all, like loads of you do, don't you? You go, and you're, oh, do you know, that was just like, but you know, you feel that frustration, it just builds up inside you, it almost kind of comes out. But the Bible says, it doesn't say let your, like your darkness shine before men, it says let your light shine before men. Because if you're a Christian, you've got your hand in the hand of God, then actually you need to be the person that is lighting up your season of life. Because as you bring light into your season of life, the people that are around you, they need you to do that, because they're going like, I'm struggling in this season of life, how can I do this, what can I do? And they need someone to say, do you know what? I can help you with that. Do you know what? Just walk this way. And I've got some amazing people in my life. I know God and he can help you with this. Don't camp in the darkness. Keep walking in the light. Just keep walking forwards. Keep looking into the eyes of God, the God who made you, the God who says you're a precious and beautiful person. Don't look back. Okay, ready, number three? Okay, piece of wisdom from an amazing man in our church. Actually, quite a lot of people said this one. I like this one. It says, you are more capable than you know. Yeah? You are more capable than you know. Tabitha, where are you? You are more capable than you know. Alex, you're more capable than you know. Lauren, you're more capable than you know. And you know what? We find it so hard to believe this. We find it so hard to actually believe this, because fear and faith kind of walk hand in hand. You know what? You step into a new season. You step into something that is new. And it kind of seems exciting at first, but then you see all the stuff that is going on around you and it gets a bit scary. But you know what? If you're going to keep stepping into new things, it's okay. It's a bit scary. As long as you don't focus on the fear, but you keep focusing in faith forwards. As you keep stepping into the unknown, you're going to get challenges. But guys, don't let your insecurities hold you back. Don't let them hold you back from the greatest opportunities of your life. You know what? Don't waste your energy on stress. You can either live your life full pelt ahead, going forward, achieving great things, or you can live your life wasting all your energy on all the stuff that you're worrying about. But I just want to say, guys, push through. Keep going. Rob read a verse out in the giving there. I didn't know he was going to read. And it's talking about having all that you need. It says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in each and every situation, whether fed or hungry, living in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's not the right verse. It's not the right verse, Rob, is it? Philippians 4. I thought that was what I was in. It is the same. It's the same passage. It's just the wrong way around. Okay. It's the same passage. Basically, these people have given everything to God and they're like being really generous with their money, and God's turning around to them and saying, do you know what? It's going to be okay because I'm going to provide for you. You've been generous with what you've got, but I'm going to provide for you so that you can bless people. You can have an amazing life. So you know what? Even if you're stepping out in faith in your finances and you're saying, God, I'm going to honor you with my finances, then God says you will have everything you need. If you're stepping into God in a new situation, then God says you will have everything you need. You are more capable than you know. Believe the promises of God over your life. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Okay, number four, I need to keep going. Number four is this, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. There's a saying, it says this, if you want to know your future, look at your friends. So if the people that are around you are doing great, then you're going to have a great future because you're doing life with amazing people. If you're totally filling your life with people who are struggling and people that are going the opposite way to you, life's going to be a struggle. It's going to be so much harder to keep going forward. So who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you having fun with? Who are you learning with? Who are you investing in? Who are you spending your time with? Who's investing in you? Friends are more precious than goals. Gold. We need friends to challenge us. We need friends to love us. We need friends to confront us. We need friends to dry our tears, to cheer us on. We need friends to walk with us. We need friends to lift us up when we fall. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, the wounds of a friend can be trusted. The wounds of a friend can be trusted. You know, if you have a friend who comes alongside you and challenges you on something, they're not having a good time doing it, okay? They're not coming alongside and having great fun in challenging you on this. They've probably thought about this for a very long time, worked out how they're going to do it. Like, you know what? Listen to them. Doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, we all need these kind of friends. And so I've got some practical tips for you on how to build some great friendships. If you're struggling in this area or saying, do you know what, I feel really lonely. I keep things to myself because actually I feel insecure inside. Or I keep things to myself because there's a pride thing and there's an insecurity thing. As girls, I think we tend to go is like, oh, I don't want to admit that I'm doing this because I just feel so rubbish. And the guys, they're just like, well, I don't want to tell anybody what's wrong because I want them to think I'm amazing. And both of these things are pride, and both of these things are actually full of insecurity. So I want to encourage you on some practical things on how to build great friendships, okay? The first is this, listen more than you talk. If you are talking all the time and no one is listening, take note. Okay, listen more than you talk. You know, if you always know best, if you're always trying to give your opinion, if you're always trying to tell people how to do life, like, people are going to stop asking you questions. You know, the Bible says that we need to seek out wisdom. You know, we all have stuff to learn. We all have stuff that we can grow in. We all have attitudes that we need developing. We all have things that God wants to teach us. We can all get better at this. Listen more than you talk. We've got one mouth and two ears. Point. Number two. Be interested in other people and their needs. Be interested in other people and their needs. You know, I'd never go to someone's house and expect them to make me tea and a brew up for me. I just, like, I'm in there, I'm going, oh, can I help you? Where's the kettle? Give me the fridge. Oh, let me set the table. And usually it's like, Michelle, will you just sit down? But actually, like, I love being in there and helping because I don't want them to be like, you know, feeling like they're running around after me all the time. I want to be stuck in there. And when people come to my house, they're the best kind of people, okay? Note, if you come to my house, I want you to go and say, Shell, can I make you a cup of tea? You know, because it's like, that's because I'm going to invite you back again, aren't I? Yeah. If you go to a young mum's house who's just had a baby, you know what? Offer to do something. Don't just sit there and expect her to make you a cup of tea. Duh. She's just had a newborn baby. She's exhausted. She's feeding. She's like probably getting no sleep at all. You know what? Go and do something for her. If you want to make friends, it's real easy. Invest in people. Invest in people. You know, we've traveled all over the world. I've cooked in a Compassion Child's kitchen in Brazil. We've like cooked in houses in North America. You know what? People like will open their homes to you if you want to bless them. If you want friends, you can make friends. You just have to be interested in people. If you invest in people, they'll invest in you. Amy's been amazing today. Is Amy? She's host. Look, she's still working. She's amazing. She's been like looking after us today and done lunch and looked after kids, gone back to Dave and Mel's, looked after kids. And she's invested. And you know what? She's amazing to have around. And we'll have her around anytime because she is that kind of person. Invest in people. Third piece of practical advice is this. Don't let securities and past experiences hold you back. You know what? You can take a huff with people. You can get really cross and upset with people. They might have hurt you. They might have offended you. You might feel they haven't met your expectations. And you know what? You can live in that or you can get past it. You need to get rid of bitterness. The Bible says get rid of bitterness. Hurt produces offense, produces bitterness, produces barriers. You know what? We need to get rid of those barriers and we need to learn to love again, dare to trust again, get rid of insecurity and don't let fear shrink your world. The Bible says, take courage. Take courage. I have overcome the world. And that is God's promise for your life today. Take courage. God has overcome the world. Friendship takes time and investment. And then second to last piece of practical advice is this. Choose your friends wisely. Choose your friends wisely. We all need friends ahead of us, alongside us, and behind us. As I started at the beginning, we all have a family. And that's what a family is. It's the generations ahead of us and behind us and by the side of us. We need friends ahead of us, people that we trust, people that can speak challenge into our life. As I've said, people that we can invest in and they can invest in us, people whose advice we follow. You know, if you go to people and you ask their advice and then you don't follow it, they're going to stop giving you it. So make sure you have good people in your life. Don't find people ahead of you who actually are living a foolish life because actually you're not going to follow their advice. If you do, you'll be in the same mess they're in. So find someone who's living a good life or that's been through some stuff but they've learned along the way. You know what? If you've got marriages that have fallen apart and you've not learned anything, like, you know what? No one should come and ask for your advice. If you've had stuff that's gone wrong, you've learned from it. You've moved on from it. You know what? You've got some wisdom that you can bring. You can share the pain of what you've been through and help someone not to go through what you've been through. So find somebody in your life that's either got some wisdom, someone that's ahead of you, and someone that's living an amazing life. Get some good friends alongside you. Who's in your world? Who are you building friendships with? Don't do it alone. Find some people you'll enjoy hanging out with that you can challenge and have fun together. And then get some friends coming after you. You know, someone that you can invest in, someone that you see potential in. You know what? God sees potential in you. Who can you see potential in? Who can you see in 10 years' time where they can be? Someone who trusts you, someone who will listen to your challenge, someone maybe struggling in an area that you've struggled in and you've overcome, or maybe you've got some wisdom for them. Not someone who's not going to listen, but someone who will get planted and will let you speak into their lives. And I'm going to ask the band to come up now as I finish off, because you know what? There's a friend, the Bible says, who sticks closer than a brother. He's our best role model. He's the one of incredible wisdom. And you know what? It's God himself. And the Bible is full of his wisdom. The Bible says God is patient and kind. You know, when friends maybe let you down, God never lets you down. It says that he'll challenge you. He'll encourage you and he'll inspire you. And he'll help you to live a bigger life.